Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in chapter 11 of Sandeha Nivarini, the beautiful conversations between Bhakta and Bhagwan, where Bhagwan himself dons the role of the Bhakta, the conversations between the devotee and the Lord, between God and man. And we are almost in the middle of this book now. In chapter 11 that we have been discussing in the last few weeks, Bhagwan explains the concept of Asti Bhati Priyam, which is nothing but Sat Chit Anandam. And then Bhagwan goes on to elaborate how every person is Sat Chit Ananda, how every person is someone who is likable, who has in him the Sat, and who has the capacity of intelligence, who shines because of what is there within. And for us to realize this, for us to know and live with the feeling that we are Sat Chit Ananda Swarupa, Swami said there are many obstructions that one has to get rid of. And Swami classifies them as obstructions of the past, obstructions of the present, and obstructions of the future. And when it came to obstructions of the present, we discussed that there are four types: attachment to sense objects, cynical criticism, dullness of understanding, and absurd conceit. And then Bhagwan talked about obstructions of the future. We did spend a lot of time talking about each one of these obstructions. And when it came to obstruction of the future, Bhagwan said how a sincere spiritual aspirant can sometimes fall into this trap of doing something which is in the nature of compassion, but it might lead to attachment. And it might be at times difficult to be warned about it. And it might take many lifetimes to actually understand this and get over this. And Bhagwan gives the example of Bharata. And in the previous session of Vahini Satsang, I shared with you the story of Jada Bharata, how this king Bharata, who was famed for his righteousness and had this attitude of renunciation, when he went to the forest, he developed deep attachment with a deer, and that led to him being born as a deer, and then later on again he took birth as a pious human being. So Bhagwan was giving this example of Bharata, the story of Jada Bharata. Even though Swami has not elaborated it here, but in elsewhere in Bhagwan's discourses, Swami has in detail spoken about the journey of Jada Bharata, especially during the summer courses. And I shared that with you in the previous session, how it is so important for us to be very careful even when we are doing sacred acts, because just doing sacred act is not enough. Sacred act should lead us to a fruitful progression in the spiritual path. There's no point doing sacred acts if it is not leading us towards deeper attachment with God. If it is at the end of the day leading to deeper attachment with the world, then somewhere, even as we are doing good deeds, we have missed our way, or we have done it for so many years, but somehow we are not able to reap the commendable merits or the benefits of it, because we didn't do it in the right spirit or we slipped somewhere, forgetting the purpose of what we were doing. Swami also here gives the example of Vasudeva, and I think this refers to the story of a king from the scriptures whose name was Vasudeva, and he Pondarika Vasudeva, as they say. And just because his name was Vasudeva, he started behaving like Lord Krishna, who is also called as Vasudeva, and he started having fake Sudarshana Chakra and fake insignia, all that Lord Krishna has, and there is that story of how he falls into this trap. Bhagavan has not elaborated this here in the Sandeha Nivarini, but probably that is what Bhagavan is referring to. But the story of Jadabharata here is very vivid for us in understanding how compassion can also lead to attachment. And Swami says that the aspirant can, by reasoning out the nature of these three, the nature of these three obstructions, if you do spiritual inquiry, you can get over them, Swami says. Otherwise, it will take many lifetimes to not fall into this trap and ensure that whatever good we are doing is always leading us towards our ultimate goal. And it is not diverting us, it is not leading us to paths which have altered from the main goal. And in the next segment, 11.3, Bhagavan, in response to the question of the bhakta, talks about how we can overcome the obstructions of the present. And Swami gives solutions. We discuss the obstructions of the present are attachment to objects that attracts the senses, cynical criticism, dullness of understanding, and absurd conceit. We did spend good amount of time discussing this, but Swami in segment 11.3 goes into the solutions of all of these obstacles that we have to overcome in the present. So let us listen to what Bhagavan has said, and then based on his discourses, we will contemplate more on this subject.
Swami, just like there is a way to overcome obstructions of the past, can we get over the obstructions of the present?
Why not? There is a way for this also. For every obstruction, there is certainly a way out through karma. There is no obstruction that cannot be surmounted. Attachment to sense objects can be removed by sama, dama, uparati, titiksha. That is, by developing purity, self-control, withdrawal of desires, and the ability to suffer. Dullness of understanding can be removed by listening again and again. Constant meditation on the things heard will abolish the habit of cynical criticism. All absurd conceit will vanish through living those teachings in one's life.
Swami, to master all this seems impossible for everyone. To make it easy for all, tell me, which is important?
My dear fellow, to know a thing is vijnana. To be ignorant of it is ajnana. Don't you know this?
So many people say so many things about this vijnana and this ajnana. What is the basis for the two?
Now you have come again to the very first step. Ajnana is the mental attitude that has reference to the external object, and vijnana is the mental attitude that has reference to the internal subject, that is atma. Ajnana is known also as manas and chittam. When the activity and attitude turn inwards, they are called buddhi and ahankara.
Some say that the accumulated merit of the jnani is only to enable him to attain the higher world. Is this true?
Both the jnani and the ajnani will have desire, absence of desire, desire for the other world, and accumulated consequences of past actions, all in equal measure. Their experiences also will be in equal measure. Only the jnani will not have the consciousness that he is the doer. So he will not be bound. The ajnani is conscious that he is the doer, and so he gets bound. This is the distinction. I have already told you, haven't I, that the mind is the cause of bondage as well as of liberation. The mind is the cause of everything.
Mind, mind, they keep on saying, what is it? What is its form?
The form of the mind is the thoughts. If you understand the origin of thoughts, then there will be no bondage at all.
What is that basis?
The basis is what you refer to as I. Seeking for the I, if you are in that I state, however many thoughts come and go, you will remain unaffected.
Right. That is very good, Swami. Please make all this soak into our brains so that we may realize the purpose of our lives. I shall take leave, Swami.
Do so. Leave gladly and return later. Take my blessings with you.
So that's how chapter 11 concludes. And very beautifully the Bhakta prays, Swami, please ensure that all these are absorbed in our brain so that we may realize the purpose of our lives. And Swami says, take my blessings with you. That's so beautiful. So soothing, so encouraging. So if you go to the beginning of this segment, 11.3, so where Bhagavan is saying how we can overcome the obstructions of the present, Swami is saying the first obstruction of the present, attachment to sense objects, can be removed by sama, dama, uparati, titiksha. And Swami says these are self-control, withdrawal of desires, the ability to suffer. You can remove your attachment to sense objects by developing purity, sense control, withdrawal of desires, and the ability to suffer. And in several discourses, Bhagavan has touched upon this sama, dama. And Swami says, dama is the control of external organs. Sama is the control of internal organs. For one who can control his internal senses, inner senses, for that person, the external organs do not give any trouble because they easily come under control, Swami says. The one who cannot control his internal organs, then the outer organs cause a lot of trouble. If someone gets the feeling that he should not see anything external to him, he will not see, even if the eyes are open, if the internal organs are in control. If someone is not determined to eat anything, even if there is food kept in front of him and however attractive it may be, he will not eat if the internal organs are in control. And it is these internal organs, again, which provoke the external organs. So, we need control of both internal and external. But if the internal is controlled, then external becomes very easy. We can control external, but if the internal is not in control, then it will be very difficult to resist those temptations. Swami says, yes, it is difficult to control the internal organs, internal senses. But if we are able to do this, then controlling the external senses will be very easy. But having been born as a human being, control of the organs, Swami says, is very essential. Why? Because this will give us happiness, Swami says. This discipline will give all of us a lot of happiness, Swami says. We think that yielding to the senses gives happiness. We think that if we have that ice cream, we will be happy. But actually, with time, we realize that more we ensure that our happiness is not on the ice cream, but inside, then no matter whether there is ice cream or not, we will be happy always. And that's why Swami says this control of the organs is very, very essential, because that will give us plenty of happiness. And just like for everything in the world, there are limits prescribed. The buses will have to go in a particular speed. Trains can travel with a restriction on their speed. Everything has to be under a certain discipline. The earth revolves at a particular speed. It goes around the sun at a particular speed. If anything gets altered, then it will lead to great calamities. And it's the same everywhere, Swami says. All of these controls and limits are because they will ensure order. They will ensure happiness. They will ensure safety. It is not foolish to be within the limits. In fact, some people say that we don't need the control of the external organs. If the internal organs are in control, then automatically the external organs will be controlled. That is true. But given that the mind is so dicey and so powerful, in fact, in the Gita, the Lord himself says, among the sense organs, I am the mind. The mind is very powerful. That's why whenever you have a temptation, if you can deal with this so-called enemy internally as well as externally, within and without, then it becomes easy. If the front and back doors are closed, then the enemy is caught quite easily, isn't it? That is the reason why Sama and Dama both are prescribed. The eyes will run outside to see a beautiful object. But if you at once withdraw the eyes from that object, it is called Dama. At the same time, if you restrain the eye internally and not crave for it, that is Sama. So when Sama and Dama both work in tandem, then this practice of controlling the senses, restraining the senses to not get attached to external objects and dwell within will become easy, and happiness will be within our reach. In fact, that reminds me of how Bhagwan would always insist about less connections, less talk, to not look here and there, to all the students, especially during their student years. Swami would always say that, don't forget you are here for your studies and for Swami. Don't have your mind distracted with anything else. In fact, even today, the students in the hostel in Prashantanilayam or Vrindavan in Bhagwan's colleges, they don't have mobile phones and they don't have time for it. Nobody misses it because your schedule is so beautifully occupied with things that keep your focus on your academics, on your overall development, development of your body, mind and soul, and on Bhagwan. In fact, there are few instances of students that come to mind. There was a boy whose father was someone who was in the movie theater business. In fact, there were many people in his family who were in this field. In fact, his father came to Bhagwan in 1980s and he told Swami, I want to build this theater. And Swami does not approve all this, but his father was so insistent, Swami, please allow me to do it. Swami somehow allowed. So this boy thought, now that, you know, my father has a theater, so that definitely gives me the opportunity and the privilege to enjoy watching movies. So sometime in 1982-83, when this boy was about to go for vacation, he was a student here, Swami came to him one day straight and Swami said, hey, don't see movies. Swami came and told this boy specifically, don't see movies. And this boy was little taken aback and he said, what is this? How can Swami tell me to do this? You know, my father has a theater and I had thought I will go and enjoy these movies. Swami tells me, don't see movies. If a butcher does his job, that is his job. How can we say that a butcher is a sinner? You know, he had all these explanations and logic. My father anyway plays movies there. How can I not watch them? So he went and told the warden, sir, what is this, sir? Swami has came and told me that, you know, I should not watch movies when I go home. This will be very difficult for me. So this warden went and told Swami, Swami, this is what the boy is telling me and this is what is the boy is feeling. The next day, Swami came out of the interview room running and came directly again. He came to the boy and Swami said, hey boy, you will not see movies. And now this boy did not know what to do. Swami was not willing to listen to anything. Swami said, see, today's these commercial movies have so many negative elements, you are not going to see them. It will spoil your mind. Now the instructions were so clear and so specific to him. So, well, he said, okay, I will not. And when the vacation started, he went home. But that irresistible temptation was there to see a movie. And in their home, there would always be some talk about the movie because the father was in that business. They would know when a new release happened. They would discuss about the movie. But still, for some time, he resisted, restrained himself from watching a movie. But when they started talking about a movie, a new movie that has come, and he just could not anymore control himself. And he said, okay, it's okay, I will just go for a late night show. That show was at 11, 11:30. So he went and he sat in the theater. He said, it is okay, Swami, you know what, I just need to watch this. And as he was watching the movie, half an hour into the movie, suddenly to his utter astonishment, he saw Bhagwan's picture in the movie, Bhagwan's image in the movie. And it was not some devotional movie or anything, it was just a normal commercial movie. And looking at Bhagwan's picture there really startled him, and he And he was very disturbed. Oh my God. Swami told me no. And you know, now in this movie itself, Swami is there. And you know, he just was very disturbed. He came out of the theater. He left halfway. And he said, you know what? I should not look at this movie. I think I should not see this. And he went and told his father, Father, this movie that was played last night, you know, there is Swami's photo in the movie. Father said, no, there is no Swami's photo in the movie. Where did you see Swami's photo? He said, no, no, half an hour into the thing, you know, in that scene, there is Swami's photograph. And Father said, no, no, there is nothing like that. If there is Swami's photo, obviously I would know. I have seen the movie so many times. And Father said, no, that is not true. And the boy said, oh, is it that I am imagining? You know, because this what Swami had told. So maybe that's what happened. You know, it was all created by me. Just a mentally created, maybe out of my fear or, you know, my trepidation. And he said, okay, I think I was mistaken. It is okay. I mean, Swami is not there in the movie. He is not looking at me. So it's okay. He said, then maybe it's okay. I can just go and see the movie. So he felt, let me just try once again. So he went again and sat in the theater. And the moment he sat in the theater, power went off. I said, what is this? How can it happen? Power generally never goes. And he said, okay, maybe it was just bad luck. Came back and said, let me just give it a break. And after 3-4 days, you know, he just got over it. He said, it's okay now, I'll just watch it so that I see the movie in full. You know, I had watched it only for half an hour. So he went again and this day when he went inside and sat, that day not only did the power go off, earlier after some time the generator would come on, but that day the generator also never came on. And he thought, oh my God, what is this? Is this a coincidence? Every time I come, something or the other is happening. And I'm just not able to see. And he said, okay, fine. I thought, okay, maybe that is what it is. You know, Swami told me a clear instruction, don't watch movies. He just does not want me to watch movies. So I should just make all these efforts to come to a full stop. And given that it had happened like 3-4 occasions, now he felt, you know, this Swami is just, and look at Swami, he's such a fantastic master. When he tells you to do something, you don't do something, he ensures that you are on the right track. And so he just stopped watching movies. During all the while, he was a student in Bhagwan's college. Later on, when he left the college, he graduated and now he got married. And after marriage, there was this pressures, you know, we should go for entertainment. And he thought, it's okay now, you know, I'm married. So it's okay. So one day he and his wife, where they were driving towards a movie theater, and on the way they had a huge accident. Though they were saved, but it was not an accident that he can just brush it off. And he said, oh my God, Swami is just, he is completely keeping his eyes on me. And he said, okay, forget it. I'm not going to watch, even if I'm married. And few months went by, and then after some time again that desire came, you know, it's okay, I will just, maybe we'll go and watch. And he went to a theater and Just when he put his hand on the ticket counter to pick up his tickets, and the counter person said, oh, I'm sorry, all the tickets are just sold. He actually gave the money. The counter person took the money and then returned the money. He said, I'm sorry, no, I don't have a ticket. And he said, oh my God, what is this? And then, you know, again that came back, you know, Swami does not want me to watch movies. It's better I just stop making all these attempts. And in fact, with time, that theater that the family had, he closed down that theater and he just completely got out of it. He was telling me how later on in life, even if you try to watch a movie on the mobile phone, the phone will stop working. And that is how protective Bhagwan has been of this brother. Maybe that is what is good for him. I shared this only to say how Swami was always very particular about we being exposed to positive thoughts and positive vibrations. And especially in the student years, Swami would always insist that one should not get distracted. In the 70s, the students in the Vrindavan campus, for their masters, they had to go to the college in Bengaluru. And that college had a co-education, just like many colleges. And Swami would always tell the boys, these are the boys, they were in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan ashram, but they had to go to the city because we did not have the master's program then in our university. And Swami would always tell the boys, be careful, don't talk to girls and don't unnecessarily mix with people. Keep your focus on Swami and on your education. Even if people come and talk to you, just don't engage them in long and deep conversations. And that's how the boys were, you know, even if they would go to this college and even if all the boys from the city were doing different things, going out, having fun, these students, they would always come back and Swami would always be watching over them. Swami would always be waiting for them to come back to Vrindavan from the city. And one day, when they were returning from the college, and many times Swami would be standing in the portico of his home, his abode in Vrindavan, which was called Old Bungalow, and Swami would look at the boys as they're returning from the college in the afternoon, and they had to pass through Bhagwan's residence, and Swami would sometimes be standing there and watching them. So one day, when they were going back to their rooms through Bhagwan's residence, Swami called one boy, and this boy went near, and Swami said, hey boy, why did you talk to that girl? And this boy said, no Swami, I did not, Swami. Sometimes, you know, that is your instant reaction, because you just feel you have to defend yourself, and you don't know, you know, whether Swami is playing a game, what is Swami up to. And he said, no Swami, I did not talk to anybody, Swami. Swami said, no. And that boy was from Delhi. Swami said, Delhi boy, I know. You were in the library. He said, yes, Swami. In the library, when you are taking the book, your book between this self and this self, fifth rack and the sixth rack, at that time, there was this girl and you started talking to her and Swami started giving the details and the boy just fell at Swami's feet and he started crying. I'm sorry, Swami. I'm sorry, Swami. So that is how careful Swami always wanted the boys to be, always be careful so that you can always be cheerful. When you're studying, keep your focus on your studies. Keep your focus on what will constitute the foundation of your life. The focus on God, the focus on Bhagavan, and the focus on acquiring knowledge. When the other things of life have to happen, they will happen. He will guide. You don't have to get distracted with those things now. So I would always say that when the plant is growing at the appropriate time, you have to give the fence. If you don't give the fence, then cats, then goats and other animals will come and eat and the tree will become weak. We have to give the fence at the right time. And that is what Bhagavan was doing. And when it comes to control of the senses, it is something like that. If from the childhood you have exercised that power, exercised that habit to control, then as you grow older, it becomes easier. Even if you slip, you'll be able to garner that will. But if you have not done in your childhood and you want to do it later on, it becomes even more difficult. Just like if you've been running when you were in your 20s or the 30s, you know, you can keep running and do marathons even when you're in 40s or 50s or 60s even. But you have never jogged in your life until you are 40s. If you want to start running now, it's not going to be easy. Much more effort is needed. And maybe you will run a kilometer or 2 or 3 kilometers. You cannot do a marathon. It will take you so much more practice. It's the same. And that's the reason why Swami was so particular about these habits being cultivated when students were in school, in Balvikas, in college. Because these are the times. If it is taken care, then later on, life becomes much easier. We have less problems to deal with because we have ensured that we lead a life where we avoid problems. And Swami would reward the students, anyone, when he saw such good character. Swami always said, end of education is character. And Swami would reward students whom he found to be walking on the path of purity. Ultimately, purity is the essence of all sadhana. And control of senses is at the base of it. Control of senses is such a fundamental thing for any spiritual aspirant, this sama and dhamma that Swami is talking about. This is the way we can ensure that we don't create obstructions for us in the present. I remember another incident where a student had to go to Anantapur, which is 80 kilometers from Puttaparthi, to get a new pair of spectacles. Now, this was sometime in the 80s and early 90s, perhaps, and we did not have spectacle shops in Puttaparthi. So if any student needed a pair of glasses, then they had to go to Anantapur, the district headquarters. And generally, Swami would have a junior boy, if he has to go, to be accompanied by a senior. And for teenagers, it was a fantastic day out because officially you can go out of the hostel and, you know, to another city and have a field day off from school And generally, youngsters will be excited. You can have food in a restaurant, you know, you can watch whatever you want and you can roam around a bit and come. So that is how it felt for this boy. And this boy, he in fact told Swami, "Swami, I have to go to Anandpur Rao for getting my new pair of specs." Swami said, "Okay, very good, go." But Swami said, "Don't look here and there." And the boy said, "Okay, Swami." And he said, "Oh my God." Swami says, "Don't look here and there. Okay, I will just focus on my specs and I will come back. I will not do anything else." And so he, along with the senior, they went to Anandpur. And the boy remembers how Swami would always say that your only friend is God. Don't have unnecessary friendships. Don't have unnecessary connections. Don't unnecessarily go and mix with people. Focus on Bhagwan. So this boy went to Anandpur and he had Swami's message in his mind. So he just got down from the bus, he went to the spectacle shop and he got his specs. And as he was about to get into the bus, in the bus stand to return to Puttaparthi, his eyes fell on a big Bollywood poster in the bus stand. And the senior who was with him, he had not yet come. He was busy doing something. So this boy looked at that poster for a little while and he tried to register the name of that movie. And he thought, you know, when I go back home, I'll watch this. Not now, vacation time. So he returned to Puttaparthi from Anandpur and he went and reported to Bhagwan. And Swami said, "How was your Anandpur trip?" He said, "Swami, it was fine and these are my new specs." Swami didn't bother to look at the new specs. Swami said, "Did you look here and there?" The boy said, "No, Swami, I did not look anywhere, Swami." Swami said, "Are you sure you didn't look anywhere?" He said, "No, Swami." And then Swami smiled and Swami said, "What about the movie poster, sir? What about the movie poster?" And the boy was shocked. And the way Swami also said it, you know, it was like he was making fun. He wanted to let the boy know that he knows and nothing escapes his eye. And at the same time, to alert him that when he says that we should do something, we should do it because it is for our good. And the boy says, today, 25 years later, when he reflects on this incident, he always says how particular Bhagwan was, how protective he was, so that in our formative years, we get the right focus so that our foundation is proper. And as I said, this sama and dhamma, control of the senses, beat, control of the eyes, control of the tongue, these are not easy, but with practice they are possible. Swami says that among all the senses, two are most important, the eyes and the tongue. And because these two are very important, that is why the Lord has provided them with the means of restraining their activities. You don't have a cover for the ear, but you have a cover for the eye. And the tongue is always inside. there are natural means for closing the eyes and the mouth. So if you don't want to see something undesirable, you can close your eyes. But the ears and the nose, they have no such devices for closing them. The mouth has lips which can seal the tongue. And that's why Swami says you have to exercise restraint in your speech. You have to control the tongue. You have to control your eyes. If you can control your eyes and the tongue, Swami says, you can control all other senses very easily. Because the eyes always roam freely and the tongue begins to wag many times without thinking. If the tongue is engaged in endless talking, then the eyes want to see everything that is visible. And Swami says, if both these organs are given free hand, that's when life becomes a calamity, isn't it? All our diseases are because of the tongue. Most of our diseases are because of the tongue, isn't it? The tongue and the eyes. Because all our intake is through the eyes and the tongue, isn't it? Whether it is intake of food for the stomach or food for the mind, everything happens principally through these two organs. And that's why Swami would say, always direct your eyes on good things alone. Students should realize, Swami would say always, that if you can control over what you see, what you hear and what you speak, you will lead happy and meaningful lives. That moderation and sweetness in speech will take you to great heights. So the Sama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, Swami talks about, these are very important for any spiritual aspirant, and it is so important to engage in these spiritual exercises right from the time one is in his childhood. And that is the focus of Balvikas. That is the focus of all Sai institutions. If you look at the life of the students in the hostel, because it is many times not easy to control, the best thing is to divert. The best thing is to redirect, to sublimate. Yes, the eyes want to see. You can give the eyes something else to see. You can give the eyes a sunrise to see. You can give the eyes a beautiful garden to see. You can give the eyes the beautiful form of Lord Krishna to see. The tongue wants to talk. You can give the tongue the task of talking about Him. You can give the tongue the task of singing about Him. You can give the tongue the job of sharing His love. And if we step into the portals of Bhagwan's schools in Prashantinilayam, especially where I have been a personal witness to, you would find the environment so suffused with this positivity, with these feelings. And that is the reason why, even though there are so many restrictions placed, no one complains. There are restrictions placed on how much the kids can spend on non-essential things. And with time, the kids learn, the kids become strong internally. And there are practices also which help one to get that willpower. You do Gayatri Mantra Japa. You do Jyoti Meditation. You do Yoga. When you do different kind of exercises, all of these also help in strengthening our willpower. The Gayatri Mantra especially is very powerful in emboldening our sense organs to be within their limits, to be able to pause if suddenly your eyes get distracted, your tongue simply wants to talk. And that is the reason why Swami filled the life of every student and devotee with various activities. If you are a student in the hostel, you had plenty of things to do. If you are a devotee and you are engaged in a Satya Sai organization, every weekend is occupied with some activity or the other, be it a service activity, a spiritual activity, or a seva activity. If you are a volunteer, your time is spent in something that is productive, that is meaningful, and not wasted where you're fallen into the trap of the senses. It's not that one should not enjoy life. Everything can be enjoyed, but Swami says at the right time, in the right way, and in the right limit. Swami never wanted all the students to become monks. He said, I want you to go and lead normal lives, but lead good and ideal lives and be happy. And I think that is what Bhagwan is also saying here. If you get into this practice of sama, dama, being able to control your tendencies, then you will be able to get rid of the obstructions of the present. And if you can slowly get rid of the obstructions of the present, then very soon you will be able to experience that divinity that is within you, Sat, Chit, Ananda. You are someone who is full of Sat, who are filled with that permanent treasure of happiness. Sat is that supreme principle which is there within us. We are someone who can shine Bhati. That's what Swami says, Bhati. Priyam, you are someone who is full of bliss. You can be in bliss and you can give bliss. And all that is possible if only we just make that effort to rein in our senses and go inward so that there is balance in life. And in Sandhya Nivarini, Bhagwan is telling us, through karma, you can always get rid of every obstruction. That's what Swami is telling. When the Bhakta asks Swami, can we get over the obstructions of the present? Swami says, why not? There is a way. For every obstruction, there is certainly a way out through karma. And this is the karma that Bhagwan wants us to do, wants us to engage in. And that is the reason why He gave us so many discourses. He created the Satya Sai organizations. He created so many institutions. He created so many avenues and filled us with opportunities to sanctify our time and our lives. So there is more in this segment where Bhagwan is saying, apart from Sama and Dama, there is Uparati and Titiksha. Titiksha is that forbearance, that ability to suffer. Uparati is again withdrawal of desires. Bhagwan has mentioned about these qualities also in some depth in many discourses. Swami says Titiksha refers to having equal mindedness in gain or loss, in pain or pleasure. And there Swami says Shraddha, or that faith, is very important. We can have that equanimity only when you have faith. Only the person who has faith will get illumination and wisdom. And that is the reason why Swami said, whatever work you do, do it with interest and faith. He who has the least number of desires is the richest man in the world, Swami would always say, and who is filled with desires is the poorest man on earth. Therefore, let us walk towards a life which is filled with contentment and self-satisfaction. And Swami says this self-satisfaction will come from self-confidence, that confidence that comes to us when we control our senses, when we are master of our senses and not dragged by our senses. And that self-confidence will lead to self-satisfaction, which will inspire us to engage in self-sacrifice, finally leading to self-realization. So this is the journey for each one of us. And as we spend time contemplating on his messages, let us take those steps and progress. Even as we take one step, let us not come two steps backward. Even if we have come back, let us again determine ourselves. Every time we make that determination to walk on the path towards him, he will extend his hand and take and give us that support. Anybody who is on the spiritual path would have experienced this. How, if you want to be on the right path, how Swami comes forward and takes your hand. Even if you have fallen 100 times, you try to rise again and he will give you his support. That is how much he loves us. That is how much he wants us to be happy. So let us make this effort, and we'll continue this discussion about Titiksha and Uparati and the other things that Bhagavan has talked about in this segment in the coming episode. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@sssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your queries on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much, and with humility and love, I offer this little endeavor at his lotus feet and pray for his strength and guidance. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.